and also find Mark chapter 4 for a moment. Matthew 13, hold your finger there and then turn to Mark chapter 4. Now, how many here want to be more fruitful than ever? Sorry, my nose is running. How many want to be more fruitful? Bear more fruit onto eternal life. Because if you think about it, when you're saved, that's the initial meeting of the Lord, changing of your spirit. But I really believe that God calls us to be fruitful on this planet, to be more like Christ in all that we say or do, because the fruits of the Spirit are opposite the works of the flesh. Are you with me? We all can operate in the works of the flesh real easy. But to operate in the fruits of the Spirit means there's a change of character. Now, all of us know that we're going to have certain levels and degrees that we get to, but I believe all of us can be fruitful. How many want to reap 100-fold in everything you do? Let me see your hand. That means your love tank is full, your joy tank is full, your peace tank is full. You're just a fruitful person. And really, a fruitful person, listen, can bring it out. Now, have you ever had a garden before? Anybody ever grown anything before? The truth is that a plant produces not just one. You just don't plant one seed and get one seed back. There's more that grows back than what you plant. That's a harvest. Well, it's no different in our spiritual lives. That God planted that seed and we became born again. But now we can produce more because Christ is in us. I want to be like Christ in all that I say and do. Are you with me? Now, you found Matthew 13. Did you find chapter 4 in Mark? I want you to look at verse 13. This is going to start this off. Jesus is talking about this parable. He says, "Know ye not this parable? Then how will you know all the other parables?" This parable I'm going to be talking about covers the soils. Now, I know that you've heard sermons on this, but it's real important to understand. Jesus said, if you don't understand this parable, how will you understand all the other parables? Now, flip over to Matthew chapter 13. I'll make a couple statements to you. A seed that isn't planted will never fulfill its inherent potential. It needs to be attached to the source in order to produce life. Like a fish that's carried outside of water, it cannot live. Neither can the Word of God be outside the soil on which God intended it to be fruitful. Are you with me? When it comes to the Word of God, it is so vitally important as Christians that we sow it in our hearts. We can't have the separation from there. The seed is good and outside. Just as a plant would die outside of its source, a fish would die outside of its water, so will the Word of God if it's not sown in a heart that will produce. Now, when it comes to sermons, all of you have heard a lot of them. Don't you wish you could retain every single one that was good? Yes or no? How many times have we went in and went out, and maybe you, even today your mind has wandered during service? Oh, nobody in here, huh? Be honest today, how many when Allie was leading worship, you might have thought about something else for a time, but you were still engaged, singing the song, your hands were lifted, you were praising the Lord. Who wants to be honest and said your mind wandered? One, two, three, okay. The truth is, I'm hoping during this message your mind won't wander, so I'm going to try to keep your attention. But the Word is the seed. Heart is the soil. The field is the world. And what you do to prepare it will produce your fruitfulness. I want to be more fruitful in my Christianity than I've ever been. Like many of you, I've been saved for a while. But being saved for a while doesn't guarantee the soil is still rich to produce. Are you with me? You can never just trust in, well, I've been saved for a long time. I've heard that before. I'm here to tell you, if we heard salvation messages every week, we could never exhaust how great salvation is. Now, obviously, we mature in the faith, but God's Word is like seed. That seed made you born again. In Matthew 13, look at verse 38, and I'm going to back up from there. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. If you're taking notes, in 1 Peter 1:23, having been born again, not of a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible seed by the word of God, which abides and lives forever. In Genesis 8, verse 22, as the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, until the night and day, until time ceases. Well, you know what? We still see in this state summer and winter. Now, my sister, she lives in Hawaii. Wintertime means 70. Oh, isn't that a struggle? Amen? Summertime means 80. Oh, that's a big struggle. The truth is that very rarely ever, their plumbing is underneath the house, but it isn't even wrapped. Many houses just have the plumbing come outside of the house and goes around it because it never gets cold. It's just constant weather. Where she lives, it rains usually every day, and then it's sunny the rest of the day. But it's so rich in lust. It's like, man, the trees grow, and you just name it. And that lava rock is so porous that it could just be a downpour, and within minutes, it's all gone. I shared with some of you, they were putting in a new subdivision, and they had this parking lot area next to this condo. And I never saw a drill bit. This drill bit was probably 6 or 7 feet wide and about 8 feet tall. It was the biggest drill bit I ever saw. And it had this big casing, and they started to auger. I pulled over, and I got to see this. So it was going real slow, and they started to dig in the ground, and it went down, and it totally sunk that thing. And I go, what are they going to do now? All of a sudden, this had these big hydraulic arms. It jacked it up and pulled it like a giant plug right out of the ground. They put a manhole cover on it, and that's their drain. It's so porous that when the water goes in there, it goes out. Well, I begin to ask her, I go, look, how do you keep all the salt water? Well, there's so much fresh water pushing out through the rocks that the salt water can never come back into the rock. That's how much rain they get. Isn't that cool? Well, how many want to be like that? You're soaking it up. And you're the place where you can receive that harvest. I want to be that way. As the earth remains, there'll be seed time and harvest. Also, when it comes to the Word of God, I guarantee you, you've heard a message sometime in your life, and all of a sudden that word came back another time, and man, that was in you. Maybe you answered something out of your mouth you didn't even know was there, because your spirit is so vast. It's the Spirit of God. How much can you retain? Unbelievable amount. Well, Lord, teach me your word. So it's so important that when we come in, we have the mindset, Lord, teach me. Lord, there's something today for me. I guarantee you, God can take you on a journey as you're going on. Now, turn to Matthew 13, verse 1. Matthew 13, 1. Tell me when you got it. Now, in my book, I got to flip back a couple pages because I have super giant print. I didn't know they made it till one day I went to the bookstore and it said super giant print. Let me have that. I need that. But if you go to Psalms, it's about that thick. So you got to keep flipping. In Matthew 13, verse 1, on the same day, Jesus went into the house and sat by the sea. And a great multitude were gathered unto him. So he got in the boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the seashore. Now notice during Jesus' time, the teacher sat down and the students stood. Now I don't mind everyone sitting here, but back then it was just the opposite. Because sometimes it requires a little more to stand because it requires our attention. Say amen. The teacher sat and the students stood. Verse 3. Then he spoke unto them a parable, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow, and some seeds fell by the wayside. The birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, which didn't have much earth. Immediately it sprang up because it had no depth. The sun came out and scorched it, because it had no root and withered away. Some fell among thorns. The thorns sprang up and choked them out. And others fell on good soil, yielding a crop, some 100, 60, and 30-fold. Let him who has an ear, let him hear. Look at verse 10. And the disciples came to him and says, why do you speak to them in parables? It was really a good question. There were 7 reasons why Jesus spoke to them in parables that I have. Parables reveal a truth in a form intended to create most interest. It made known new truths to the interested hearers. It made known the mysteries by comparison. It also concealed truth to those who were disinterested, and he added more truth to those who loved it. Now, here's the truth away. It says in Matthew 13:12, it takes away from those who hate it, and it also fulfills prophecy. When Jesus is speaking that, it's going to make a story like you can engage in it. But also, it's going to be a spiritual truth that only those who have that in their heart can receive. Isn't that cool? Jesus said, it wasn't revealed unto these wise and nobles, but unto babes to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And if you look at this room, aren't you privileged to know the truth of God's word? Yes or no? Isn't it great to be saved? Man, how did God ever just reach me when it comes to this whole world? I am so thankful that I'm saved. That those parables allow an outline, an equivalent, a visible sign of what's invisible, and also a mark of what's similar. When I look at Jesus today, look at verse 11. He answered and said, because it's given unto you. How many heard a voice change? See, I'm still getting younger. I'm going through puberty right now, so bear with me. And he answered and said to him, because it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto them it's not. He's going to answer the question. So I'm going to give you a parable to illustrate a story and reveal it. Now, can you imagine Jesus sitting on the boat? There's the whole multitude there, and he begins to teach. Won't that be unbelievable in heaven, have him teach us things? How many think you won't miss that Bible study? Say amen. How about the Apostle Paul? Hey, this week, the Apostle Paul is going to be teaching on whatever. That'd be cool. Amen. I mean, there's just some great people that handle the Word of God. Just like there's great people handling the Word of God. We can't short ourselves either because they're flesh just like us. Oh, come on. No, I don't consider myself some of these great guys, but I want you to know that I'm saved too and I have the same Holy Ghost. Amen. Verse 13. Therefore, I speak unto them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, neither do they understand. To them, the prophecy fulfilled by Isaiah, hearing you'll hear and not understand, seeing you will not perceive. When I look at it, Jesus is going to speak those, because the people's hearts were closed. Their hearing was dull. But stories get people's attentions. They can relate to the field. They can relate to fishing. They use modern things of the time. So it began to engage the people in. That's what Jesus wanted. The Word of God is still true in there, but Jesus knows how to unlock hearts. Amen? Like all of us in here, somehow God got a hold of us. And the day you got saved, how many were locked in? Man, I need Him, Lord. The Holy Spirit moved on you and you responded. We need to see that more in society today. However, you got saved, whoever prayed for you, we need to see it more than ever. More than ever, people's attentions are about span is about this big. Amen? I know this for a fact. You take a phone away from a young person, that person's lost today. I need my... How many knows that's a reality? And as you get older, it can still be the same way. Amen. Come on, you're all old enough in here. Remember when you used to have to make up your own games? Go out and do something? There's no creativity anymore. We're losing it. And we're also losing the art of conversation. No one sits down and talks to anyone anymore. Amen. I know it's quick sometimes to send a message, but it's nice sometimes to hear somebody's voice. Amen. There's a big difference in sending somebody a text prayer versus them hearing you pray. Look at verse 16. It says, blessed are your eyes for they see, and your ears for they hear. That's such a true statement. Look at verse 18. Therefore, hear this parable of the sower. Now in this area, there's going to be four soils, and the Word of God will fall on these four continual conditions all our life. This isn't just a one-time shot. This is something like, Lord, I always want to have an area in my heart where I'm producing fruit. Here's a true fact. How many ever grown in grace and you found yourself pulling back? Anybody? How many ever had a hard, you're kind of hardened and you're like, yeah, but it was penetrating? How many ever got to the place where the cares of this world started to choke some things out? Notice the field can have that in there. But we also have an area of our heart that's totally set on the Lord. I want every soil in my heart to be right. Jesus is going to talk about four paths. He's going to call about the wayside, which is the hard path. He's going to talk about the rocky or stony place. He's going to talk about thorns and then good soil. When it comes to the wayside, the Word is incorruptible. No doubt about it. 1 Peter 1:23. Jesus said this, one went out to sow seeds. The one who's going to sow seeds are the Lord Jesus Christ and also faithful ministers. The Bible says, how can you hear without a preacher? Sometime in your life, you've heard the Word of God. whether it's through radio or television or in a service or a friend, somebody scattered some seeds in your direction. Would you agree to that? Now, I planted a lot of grass seed too in my life, doing my yard. And I remember one time there was a place where it was on my sidewalk and some got between the crack and grass grew right there. I've seen grass push through asphalt before. Like, man, look at that. Unbelievable. The truth is that it seems like it gets in there. But how many knows that's just not enough? When the ground is sown in, our heart needs to be qualified to receive it, or it will be disposed sooner or later. Amen? Look at verse 19. Anyone who hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away that sown in his heart. Those are him who receives by the wayside. It's the wayside or highway place or a well-beaten path. It's sowed in that area, but it's like, man, it's just like walked over and walked over. As a pastor, this is a truth about people who will come in today. That people will hear the word, but won't have the understanding in it. They'll go, hey, it was a nice service. I enjoyed myself. People were friendly. But the word never took root in there. It's like being stepped on. It's like a hard path. The seed is good, but it hasn't penetrated the soil. Like all of you, if you've ever had a dog run in a certain place in your yard, sooner or later he beats it down that there's no grass there. Amen? I remember one neighborhood I lived in, I had a German shepherd, and he'd always run along the fence line when I let him out. And man, sooner or later, he made a rut right there, and it didn't grow there. Just grass was good, dog beat it down, amen? Then the guy always, never mind, amen. It's like being careless in your hearing. The enemy noticed that he comes instantly to snatch the word. He's a thief to great sermons. I said, Satan's a thief to great sermons. We have to look and say, notice what he's doing. Notice of all the things he could be doing in life, he's going after the word of God. That's how vital it is that Satan himself will make the word of God a priority to come against. And as a church, we need to pray, Lord, I pray their hearts will be opened. Because when your heart gets open, the word can penetrate. Is this good stuff? If we don't break up the hard ground in prayer, we're not preparing to receive the word. I can prepare a sermon, and I have, and it takes time. It also takes time to pray for hearts to prepare. Both need to be done. As a church, I need you to enter into that too. You pray that the pastor is anointed and the people are ready to receive. That when the altar of call is given, if the people who come in have a hard path heart, Lord, it's going to change it. Amen? Instantly, the rotor tiller can go in there, change it all in a moment, and boom, something can happen. Is everybody following along with me here? We must give heed to this. Hebrews 2 says this, verse 1. Wherefore, we must give earnest heed to the things we've heard, lest we let them slip. That's such a true faith. We got to take heed to that. Lord, I want every word that you preach to find great soil in my heart. It'll change my life. I'll walk away different. Because if we don't have a heart after God, an evil heart of unbelief can set in. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. Look at verse 20. But he who receives on a stony place is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. We've all seen this. Yeah, woo, Lord Jesus, you are awesome. They received the word and something happened inside. They were energized. They were cultivated in those areas. But the best way I can describe this type of soil is that it's good and then it comes up to a hill and it's rocky. It like goes to the place where now it's a different soil in the same field. Some of you know when my grandfather was still alive, we had this one field that when we would plant in it, it had so many rocks. We used to call it Stony Acres. That after it rained, it was just amazing. There were rocks about this big. They would appear everywhere. And if you start to hit those with the plow didn't care too much, but the disc and the cultivator and the planter did. It would dent the fork or the disc on them. So what we'd have to do is we'd rent a rock picker, which I never knew there was such a thing, but there is. It has these fingers that would touch the dirt, and it was the loudest machine you ever heard in your life, because it would pick them up and throw them in this bin. And all of a sudden, we'd have a truckload of all those rocks. How many of those now, they're pretty expensive. We used to have them where we couldn't get rid of them. You see whole churches made out of them. Man, I wish now we'd be able to sell them. But after, we'd get a whole truckload of those just to get the field prepared. Well, sometimes it'd be that way. The soil is good in which the rock is sitting, but that rock is hindering what could happen in that field. That's how people can come in their hearts. They'll receive the word, and things are cool, and all of a sudden it will spring up. Look at verse 5. Some fell among the stony places, but it didn't have much earth. It sprung up from the depths, but when the sun came out, it scorched it, and they had no word, and it withered away. That's why people that come in, and I'm not trying to classify people, make people feel bad, but this is a reality. Jesus is speaking it. It's like those who come in to hear the sermon, yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I'm going to live for you all the days of my life. Yeah, 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 it's all good. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's really an emotional response. But it has very little root. Come on. It's shallow. Receive with joy. Pastor, it's a great sermon. But it doesn't have real lasting fruit. In Luke 8, verse 6 said this, some fell on the rock and it sprang up, but it withered away because it lacked moisture. Now, you've all been away for a vacation. Forget that water, that plant. What happens to it? Have you ever seen it all withered? Sometimes you can bring it back to health, but sometimes it's just too far gone. But see, the seed is always good. Lord, water that again. Maybe you've had that time of it's been dry or barren. Come on. Sometimes it endures for a time. I don't marvel at people that say, hey, I served the Lord, but now I'm not, because it falls under the category of soils. We need to call them back in the name of Jesus. Come on. Sometimes things hinder them. Galatians 5, 7 says, you ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Now, if a plant is beginning to grow, that's nice. But how many knows the plant, what it produces is really what you want? It's hard to eat the leaves. It's hard to eat the stem. It's like I'm producing a fruit. Now, I don't grow much in the garden anymore. But every now and then, I'll plant a tomato plant, a pepper plant, just something simple in a pot. But I'll work that soil. I will. I'll fertilize it. I'll make sure it gets the right water. And you know what? That one plant is enough for me when I need it. But if I want to be more fruitful, I got to plant more than one. Because I don't want to be selfish with this. How many want to have enough for others too? How many want to have a... Well, that's when it comes to love. I don't want just enough for me or my family. I want enough for everyone else. I want to be able to have people. Jesus said, hey, I'm fruitful and you'll see it, and I don't have to declare it. Look at verse 21. It says it has no root in himself, but it endures only for a while. When tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Persecution will always come against the word. It's like storms of opposition. All of us in here have had that. Persecution is represented by a scorching sun. When something begins to come against that word, they endure for a time, then fall away. Sometimes that persecution may come or right when you leave the service. Sun is warm and comfortable, but it can burn and wither if it has no roots. Is this good this morning? You're awful quiet today. Paul said, the things that have happened to me against me have come to the furtherance of the gospel. Sometimes you can let some persecution come and make it advance things. If there's no root, it'll drive you away. Well, I'm not going anymore. Amen. Oh, you're a Christian? Oh, no, I just went. I mean, there's a lot of things can happen. Sometimes it can be attacked from your own personal family. How many knows that's an attack? How many ever got blindsided before, like, man, didn't see that one coming? You ever notice that your roots matter at that point? Lord, I want it to be deep. this good? Look at verse 22. It says, he who receives a seed amongst thorns is he who hears the word. Then the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches choke it out, and he becomes unfruitful. To me, this is one of the most dangerous ones because thorns are silent. Matthew Henry said this, stones spoil the roots, thorns spoil the fruit. When those thorns begin to crumb up, I've seen every garden, unless you super attend to it, a weed grows even though you didn't plant it. And if you leave any garden or any place that's root or weed free, you'll look, I didn't plant that. And sometimes it seems to grow right next to your plant. So sometimes you got to get it early, otherwise the roots intertwine. And you pull up the bad root, you pull up the seed as well. All of us need to look at our spirit. Notice the cares of this world are so easy to creep in. Sometimes it isn't even sin. Sometimes it's just the normal functions of the day. Man, if you even go to work today, you need a spiritual bath when you get home. Just being on planet Earth, just, man, you hear this and this goes on and this conversation and this. And a lot of people gossip. A lot of people have a whole lot of coming out of their mouth. Sometimes it's like, amen? How many ever like, oh, I just need to unplug from all this? It's the washing of the Word and renewing the Holy Spirit. Well, if I have a field, then I need to tend to my garden. The seed is good. It's in good soil. Now I'm going to make sure no weeds come out. Amen? Just like persecution can destroy the word in people, in their heart, in their life, also cares of this world can draw people away and destroy the word. Hebrews 6 verse 8 says this, it bears thorns among briars. It's rejected and its end is cursed and then burned. You can be a fruitful Christian and then allow everything else to choke the word out. Amen? I mean, we want to be fruitful in every measure. Well, there were times when we were farming, I had to run this cultivator. And it was the most boring job of all of farming. We had one shot to clear all the rows between all the plants. Because once the plants grew together, it was pretty much, oh, here's a true spiritual thing. It pretty much choked out any weeds that could grow in between them. I mean, the closer we get, nothing can between us. Isn't that cool? But in between the rows, we would have cultivators that actually matched the planters. And they were huge. The ones that we used to use were probably from here to the curtain. We could do that many rows. And if these were all rows, it would fit in between each one. But what you had to do is you had to be perfect when you turned on the end of the field to make sure you lined up just right. Otherwise, you would wipe out every row that you were in. So it was such nerve-wracking because you didn't want to destroy what you're already planted. So you'd line it up and you couldn't go too fast because if you did, it shucked the dirt on the plants. But you just do it, and believe me, it was an all-day process. You could never not focus on the rows and what you were doing. You couldn't go very fast, and if you're doing 100 acres of it, it takes you days. You'd be there from morning to night. Are you with me? But when you were done, that field would produce more than if you left it alone. I mean, sometimes it's going to be painstaking to go through your life. It's going to require some effort to make sure there's no weeds in there. We all have to look at our spiritual life to make sure there are no weeds growing with the good seed. I can't do it for you. You have to do it for yourself. I can lead you to those areas, but your own spiritual life is your spiritual life. How you tend to it. But if you do, you're positioning yourself to do more. Because we know that the deceitfulness of riches, the cares of this world, will choke the seed out. Even great intentions. Oh man, you could have been fruitful before. I want you more fruitful now than you've ever been. How many want that? I do too. I want that. I want the measurement because God doesn't give you one fold. He multiplies the fold. You can receive one good seed and produce this harvest. Wouldn't that be glorious? And it isn't just for us. I know that every blessing comes with a sacrifice. There's no way around that. So make sure you're in that arena. Amen? Can I cover one more? You got time for one more? Look at verse 23. But he who receives seed on good ground is he who hears the word, understands it, and bears fruit. Produces 100, 60, and some 30. Notice it's well plowed. It's good soil. There's no stones or thorns. Anything that would hinder. Now the roots are thick with plenty of moisture to grow. In John 15 verse 8 says this, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, showing you belong to me. By bearing fruit proves that you belong to the King of Kings. Amen? You become a smart person. Everyone who has a job understands their business. You'll understand what yours is. You'll be fruitful. It'll be evident. You'll have good understanding. You'll be able to practice the word that is taught. I love that. And notice the degrees of fruitfulness. You start off minimum 30, 60, 100 fold. Now, I want to say this to you. Good is good, no matter what. 100 fold is rare, but it's all possible. Just being honest with you. I can't say I'm reaping 100 fold, but I want to get there. Then I'm on that process. Amen? Then I'm going to keep working that soil. I'm going to keep taking those things, but tending to it. You have to plow that land. In Genesis 26, 12, it says, Isaac sowed in the land and reaped of that same year 100-fold as the Lord had blessed them. There was a famine going on, and God said, sow into the land and you'll reap. More than ever, we live in a barren land society. There's no doubt about it. And I really feel the cares of this world are choking a lot of Christians' fruitfulness out. Normal stuff in life, normal function stuff. Get to that place, say no, in your heart, no. He who has an ear, let him hear. I'm going to be fruitful today. Amen? Sometimes you got to pour a little fertilizer on that heart. Get that fertilizer out. There's some areas that are barren, no, I'm going to pull those out. Holy Spirit, help me weed. Help me to take this out. You know what your hang-ups are, true? Come on, not to point that out. You know where you struggle. Work on those things. Amen? I'm going to stop here. But we have four soils. If you're going to be an intercessor for Lighthouse, I want you to pray, Lord, that we have good soil for the Word of God. I'll make this statement to you, and it's a true fact. Every sermon I've ever preached has fallen on those four soils. Every single time. Jesus said, if you don't understand this parable, how are you going to understand the rest? Spiritual fruitfulness is so important to God. You can say you're a Christian. Jesus said, prove it. Fruits in your life. Amen? Now, I know this for a fact. I don't even have to ask. All of us have been in these degrees. Amen? But prayer will change those things. Prayer can take a hardened path and soften it. Prayer can take a cultivator or a plow or a disc and work it up. Prayer can take out the cares of this world. People can see, hey, I need to get my life or get back to the Lord. Prayer can make it where like all of a sudden you're engaged and locked in. Say, yeah, thank you, Lord. I could preach about, give one word, God loves you. No, man, Revelation just boom, 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 boom. We need those fruitful times. True? Will you tend to your own spiritual life? Please do. You've already sowed seeds. I know it. Some of you have prayed for family members. Some of you have spoken the word to other people. You have already laid down seed on planet Earth. I know it for a fact. Now, every farmer knows where he's planted. Revisit some of those seeds. Sow over them again. Pray for those areas. And you'll produce a harvest. And I'll make this guarantee. You'll have increase in your life this year. How many want increase in your life? Lord, I want to know you more. It isn't all just about prosperity, blessing. That's just a package of it. I want to be fruitful in every area. How many want to walk in health and strength? How many want to see your family come to know Christ? How many want to know him in a greater way? That's all degrees of fruitfulness too. I want the whole package. Amen? Can we be at church?